You are listening to Fanthatrax.
Bastion. Never heard of the William Paul?
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
What a piece of junk!
Covering Star Wars vehicles in less than 12 parsecs, this is Start Your Engines.
Don't get technical with me.
Here are your hosts, Paul Naylor and Mark Newbold.
You are listening to Start Your Engines. I'm your co-host, Mark Newbold, and joining me today is a man who, well, if I could choose a co-pilot, I'd still choose Chewbacca. It's Paul Naylor. Sorry about that creaky noise. It's the bed. I promise it's the bed.
What are you doing on a bed?
Say no more. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, pal. How are you?
I'm good. It's Star Wars Podcast. Well, it's not Star Wars Podcast Day. It's Star Wars Podcast Week.
Yes.
And we are, along with four of the Fanthatrax podcasts, celebrating Star Wars Podcast Day, which was February the 7th. 25 years since the first episode of Jedi Talk came out. So, as we have done in the past, celebrating Star Wars Podcast Day with a discussion on this episode of Sight Your Indians about the Stap. So, tell me, obviously, first time we saw the Stap was, well, I was going to say the first time we saw the Stap was in The Phantom Menace. But strictly speaking, it wasn't. There were appearances of the Stap before that. You did see it in the teaser trailer.
Yes.
But there was another appearance, wasn't there?
Yes. I mean, the teaser trailer, which we've all been talking about, particularly in this podcast week, where we spent hours sat huddled around, hours and hours, huddled around a screen while we were hearing...
It was literally that.
Whilst it tried to download, and I seem to remember it sort of came in like bands, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then when it eventually filled out on your screen... In the centre of your screen, very small, it then started playing. Yeah. My first experience of a Stap was actually in that teaser trailer. Along with the appearance of Maul was probably my favourite bit from the trailer. Because it was sort of like, well, that's pretty cool. That's obviously a droid on some sort of rover, patrol vehicle kind of thing.
What attracted you to it? Because it's so different to anything we ever saw in the other films.
Yeah.
The original trilogy. What was it about the Stap that made you go, oh, actually, that's kind of cool?
What I did pick up on the fact of was that it got a similar sort of hue. The browns of it was very reminiscent of the Land Speeder.
Yeah.
So it got that sort of speeder quality. So it had got that sort of connection to what we were already familiar with. But just the fact that we got a droid on this thing, and I think in the trailer it was firing at Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Jar Jar. Whether we actually made that connection at that point, I can't remember.
We probably didn't.
No, but that is the scene in the film. But quite clearly, I don't think there was any mistake in the fact that these were the bad guys, the new bad. These were the stormtroopers of the prequel trilogy. The way it moved and glided through the air, I thought, this is going to be an interesting vehicle for them to use. We've kind of got used now to seeing things in trailers that actually don't get much screen time.
Yeah, that's true.
And I suppose that was its most prominent scene. I mean, we do see them in the distance and used elsewhere, but that was its best shot from the film.
So are you saying the Stap is the Constable Zuvio of the Phantom Menace?
Stop trying to please that one listener.
I go for the lowest hanging fruit, and that really is the lowest hanging fruit.
Maul didn't get a lot of screen time, but we got him in the trailer. That would have been like putting Yoda in the Empire Strikes Back trailer back in 79 for 80. Boom. Here's something that you're going to really, really want to see more of. The next time that I saw it, I think, was on a shelf in Sainsbury's, back home in Telford, where I used to live.
Yeah.
And I think there was that, and then there was the little boxed Mace Windu with his blue lightsaber. Those were the two sort of pre-release toys that came out from Hasbro.
Don't you think it's a funny world where now everything is so guarded and everything is so carefully and cautiously released?
Yeah.
Even to the point where... We've just had the announcement that Marvel is doing an adaptation of Ahsoka Season 1. We've not had an adaptation of Mando Season 3.
It's crazy, isn't it?
You know, and yet back in the day, you had the adaptation of Empire before or as the film was coming out. And so the story was known. And I think in a pre-social media world, people knowing the story ahead of seeing the film, like when you used to get that proliferation of novelizations coming out. I remember seeing Aliens in 86 and... I'm not a horror fan. No. So I remember sitting there on the evening, my dad's going to take me. I'm too young to see it, but my dad's still going
to
take me.
I was like, so jealous you went to see that cinema.
Yeah. He took us to see Rambo and Aliens, and we were just too young to see it. But Rambo was fine, but and you think the death count in Rambo is ridiculous. But Aliens, I was reading. I just got to the bit when they land on the planet,
yeah,
you know, before it kicks off. And then Dad was like, we got to go. We got to be there. And I didn't read anymore and saw the film, and it was phenomenal. Yeah. But my point is that story was there to read. When you get to the Stap and vehicles like that and characters like that in a teaser trailer, they were very careful what they revealed in Phantom Menace, very smartly.
Yeah.
But isn't it strange that things like that were kind of, not leaked, they were releasing.
Well, they were properly campaigns, promotional campaigns. So the Stap back in, would it have been the tail end of 98 or probably 99 by the time those toys came out? It might have been January or February of 99.
Yeah.
That was the first action figure I'd bought since 1984.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
15 years.
Yeah.
14, 15 years.
I'd grown out of them in 84. I've found this new thing called Girls. So I got into that. And so
they can card even.
They can really ruin your collections. But it was like, wow, I'm back into this. But the Stap, I mean, such a beautiful vehicle. Such a simple, elegant choice. But that was what Doug Chang brought to The Phantom Menace, didn't they?
Yeah.
We got the clean lines of the N1.
Yeah.
The mirror screening of the main ship, Queen Amidala. But then also, Even the vehicles of the big bads, the Trade Federation, even those vehicles, they've got more of a... They'd clearly, what they've done is they thought, right, if this is what we'd got in the 70s, and this is meant to be 20, 30 years before that, we've got to go with what would have been around this, you know, on the film screen, the Flash Gordon-y type of things.
Yeah.
So that was the feel that they went with.
And the good thing about the Stap, I think, when you look at it, is that it feels like such an extension of the Battle Droid.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's made by the same people.
Yeah.
And so it's so neatly conceived.
Yeah.
In the Clone Wars, we see Anakin on a Stap.
Yeah.
You know, we do see other people on it. It's a very... If we're making an 80s analogy, it's the C5 of the Star Wars galaxy, isn't it? You know, it's the Segway. Warwick Davis would ride a Stap if he was in the Star Wars galaxy, wouldn't he? So it's that kind of mobile personal vehicle.
I'm never going to get that out of my head now.
And you shouldn't.
No.
But, you know, Battle Droids being on it looks like that's peaches and cream. They go together. That's how it should be.
It's the electric scooter of its time. Yes, there you go.
Hi, this is Hugh Quashie. I've had great pleasure in recording this interview for Fan for Tracks.
Manufacturer.
Manufactured by Bactoid Armor Workshop.
Technical specifications.
2.9 meters high.
Maximum atmospheric speed.
And it can go at 400 kilometers an hour. So if you think you're hanging on to that thing, and you would have to literally hang on to it, that thing doing, 400 clicks, 280, 270, something like that, miles an hour. You are motoring like crazy if you're really going.
You want a helmet on, wouldn't you?
I would say you would.
Yeah. You see Anakin there, he's on his, his air's flowing in the wind. I don't think he's doing 400 on that.
I don't think he is.
No. Just because he can do it doesn't mean you have to, kids.
It's all about the hair.
Armament.
Got a x2 repeating dual blaster cannon, so it can look after itself. But you think when you watch that thing coming in, As an offensive vehicle, it seems more like a patrol vehicle than an offensive vehicle, because to fire that cannon, there's not a guidance system. You're not operating the cannon left and right. It feels like that's a fixed cannon and you are steering into the shot.
Yeah.
As a pilot, I mean, a droid is a different proposition, but as a human pilot using it, you'd have to be a pretty nifty pilot.
Potentially got the same accuracy as a stormtrooper.
Bondor.
Engine specs.
It's got a drive turbine. It's a repulsive vehicle, obviously, as we know. If you wanted to buy one, 2,500 credits. Now, that doesn't seem too bad, because I guess you've equated it to a modern-day scooter, and people use that as a personal transport thing, especially if you're a townie and you're not really going out on...
Townie?
Out of townie. You know, you're not going too far. So a Stap would feel like a logical vehicle like that. And crew, B1 series battle droids. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the obvious pilot for it.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com. for Star Wars News 24/7, 365.
Commissioning date.
First introduced 32 years before the Battle of Yavin, which is the Phantom Menace. So it's a thought that when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan encounter Battle Droid on the Stapp on Naboo in Phantom Menace, that might be the first time they've even seen one.
That might have been a real shocker for them, mightn't it? It was a good first shot of the Stapp, that scene. Come zooming in. There's a bit later on in the film, on Naboo, where you see one come close to the window.
That's right, the window.
It zooms into the window, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think other than that, it's mainly in the distance.
Yeah, it's very much. Yeah. You see all the other bigger vehicles come landing down during the invasion of Naboo, which is such an impressive scene.
Yeah.
And the music is just phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
For that sequence.
Yeah. Very good. Very military.
But you're right, that swoop past the window, it feels like a flex, doesn't it? It's like that battle droid is doing that on purpose. And those battle droids, when you see the Mark IIs in Attack of the Clones, they've got no personality. Right. They're just there for destruction. Droidicars, they're just there for destruction.
Yeah.
Battle droids have got a little bit of personality.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to Aftermath and there's Bones and there's battle droids that have a bit more about them, but that's a different era and a different time. But in this time, when they're all controlled by that droid control ship, isn't it weird that there is actually a quirkiness and a personality to the battle droids?
Yeah, I mean, whilst they are centrally controlled, they do seem to have a little bit of autonomy as well.
Yeah.
You see them there with the binoculars checking out things and stuff.
Yeah.
And the
only time that they don't seem to really cotton on to things is when Qui-Gon tells them that we're going to Coruscant, and they're like, yeah, that doesn't compute. You know, that's the only moment where you kind of feel like there's a kind of a lag.
Yeah.
That they're not keeping up with what's going on. All the other times, it is quite witty, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, that is quite... I mean, obviously, the droids themselves are introduced before the Stapp. You see them right at the start of the film. But I think the main reason that they were brought into the film was so that they could be disposed of without people going, oh, look at all these people that are dying. You know, if it's just chopping up a robot, it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, that's a good point, actually. I suppose if you think in the original trilogy, you're shooting stormtroopers. And stormtroopers always, you know, when you used to get the Our Poster magazine, and they kind of refer to them, and they were mentioned as clones, which was quite correct. And they flip-flopped on that over the years, didn't they, until they kind of landed and George decided, that's what it's about, because it fits the broader narrative. Mm. But they were always described as stormtroopers, as insectoid, I think, because of the eyes and the lenses.
Right.
And then you get to the battle droids, which are a completely different kind of design and a different thing. And they've definitely got that beehive kind of vibe about
them. Beehive yourself.
I try my best. And you get to Geonosis, and the Geonosians have got that about them. So there is a lot of that kind of tone in the design.
Yeah. There is a way of getting around having a massive murder kill in your films.
And they became Skittles, didn't they? I mean, Stormtroopers became Skittles, let's be honest. You get to Jedi and they're being knocked over by teddy bears.
Yeah.
But you see the battle droids, and we know now Qui-Gon and Ben are very high up, not in terms of just respect, but in terms of skill.
Ability,
and so there's more going on than, I mean, with the Force, literally there's more going on than you can see.
Mm.
So you kind of got to think that they're doing things, they're manipulating things that make these droids just not as effective and as sharp as they could be.
Absolutely. The Stapp, would you like to see it again? Maybe in a Disney TV show, but give it some prominence. A bit like how the N1 has been now made into Mando's fighter, and that sort of made that N1 sort of mean so much more when you now watch The Phantom Menace.
We've never, and we will on Start Your Engines, we've not discussed the N1 yet. It's on the list and it's coming.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that because, of course, as you say, we will talk about the Naboo, Battle of Naboo era, N1, and then we'll talk about the refit that Mando's got in season 3. So that will be an interesting conversation. Yeah. But yes, I think I'm kind of, you know, I look back at Book of Boba Fett and I almost wish that the scooter gang with the, you know, all the mirrors, which was just such an obvious takeoff of the mod thing from,
so bad.
You know, it was just two on the nose.
Yeah.
If they'd have been whizzing around my Cess, but on Stapps, that would have been like, now I get that. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, they should still have looked more beaten up, but they could have had flashes of colour on them to give them a different identity.
Oh, the colour thing. That colour thing didn't bother me. I know people got chewed up about it.
Oh, yeah, Stapps would have been perfect for that.
The thing that bothered me about those bikes in Book of Boba was the mirrors. They might as well have had the red, white and blue bullseye on their backs. It was two on the nose.
Considering they were struggling for water, how their vehicles were that clean, I'll never know. You don't drive around on a dusty planet and not get a bit of dirt on you.
Hello, I'm Ahmed Best, and you're listening to Femtha Tracks.
Class
It's an anti-infantry and scouting vehicle. So you kind of think, like you say, you see them in the distance when they're landing in the forest, making their big play for Naboo. And we know, as time plays on, that there was a lot of machinations behind the scenes. And those Staps are kind of the patrol vehicle. They feel like they're the ones that would scout out. We know they can do 400 clicks an hour, so they can get out of the way of trouble in a heartbeat. And if a droid's piloting it compared to a human piloting it, that's just got 400 kilometers an hour of wind blasting in their face, yeah, as opposed to a droid, that's not going to affect a droid. So that makes some sense.
Affiliations.
It was a Trade Federation vehicle, Confederacy of Independent Systems, Separatist Droid Army. So all of that grouping of collaborations, it was part of that.
So it makes sense that that was not long since it had actually been developed and put out there. All part of Palpatine's big plan.
Totally.
To set two armies against each other. Didn't really care which one won because he was going to win either way.
Exactly. It didn't matter, did it? It was the genius of his master plan.
Famous moments.
We've seen it in Battlefront 2. It was in some of the Marvel comics, so Jedi of the Republic, the Mace Windu. It was in the Age of Republic Special 1, Star Wars Adventures, Clone Wars, Battle Tales. It's been in a lot of stuff. It's been in some of the Star Wars Lego stuff. It was in the Clone Wars, Blue Shadow Virus, Liberty on Ryloth. A whole number of episodes there. It's in the Thrawn comic as well, Kanan. So we've seen it in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And I think if you dug into it enough, you'd kind of see a similar scenario where the air speeder becomes the snow speeder, the speeder bikes refitted for different environments.
Yeah, yeah.
So that stat would be, you could use that thing anywhere you like.
And you could imagine that whizzing around on Endor much the same way as a speeder bike.
Yeah. One piece of information they don't give, and I'd like to know, is what the flight ceiling is, because in your head you're thinking, well, logically, it's good. It feels more like a speeder. Maybe not a speeder bike. They can go a fair height, but speeder bikes have a flight ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, land speeders have a flight ceiling.
You wouldn't want to go too high up in one of those, I don't think.
No.
Especially if you're Anakin Skywalker. He could leap off it and do whatever he wanted, couldn't he? But
well, he could, couldn't he?
The battle droid, it doesn't matter. So.
But you could see those things in the traffic on Coruscant. It kind of feels like that would be doable.
I don't know if I'd like that.
I think I'd kind of dig that. Just make more so with droids, but then, of course, they're going to be battle droids. Jazzwares have done their vehicles, which are all beautifully to scale, and one of the smaller sets that they've done was a battle droid on a Stapp, and
I've got Anakin on a Stapp.
The simplicity, I think, makes it work so well. Yeah. And sometimes Star Wars works best when it is simple.
Yeah. You look at it and you think, yeah, that's Doug Chang. It's so Doug Chang, isn't it? It serves its purpose. It's not really many bells and whistles on it. But it is, it's a beautiful vehicle. Where do you park it though?
That's a
good point. It doesn't look like it's going to kickstand. No, it'd be like what you did with your rally chopper. You take it down the shops and you lean it against the shop, wouldn't you, while you went in?
You were on about the days when you didn't have to chain everything to a lamppost.
That's true.
Like on a stag do.
What you do is you go with your mate, you look after the two Staps while he goes in and gets the 10p pick and mix.
That's right.
Then you go back out to your mum's. No problem. All good.
If you want to be part of the action, visit panthertracks.com or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at Panthertracks. Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@panthertracks.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Panthertracks intro and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our Panthertracks Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Layer, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks, and every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, Phantomtracks.com, our social media feeds, Phantomtracks TV and Phantomtracks Radio are absolutely free! So no Patreon, Buy Me A Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news.
Coming up next on Fantha Tracks Radio, it's Cannon Fodder.